8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Liam Hendricks, and you're watching Crosstown Crosstalk on the Barroom Network.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Crosstown Crosstalk presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi and I am super stoked to be here with you today. I'm sad. As a Chicago White Sox fan, it's just not fun. It's been a ride. When this show first started, the Chicago White Sox were one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. The idea of the show was kind of born through the thought that at the time, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and Javier Baez were all still on the Cubs. And there was thought that they might get traded, but the Cubs got off to this marvelous start. Okay, maybe they should extend them, and they'll be this really good team going forward. And all of a sudden, the White Sox, out of nowhere, not out of nowhere, they put a lot of time and effort into the rebuild, and, you know, they're starting to really come together. 2020 was insane. Both teams were off to a great start in 2021. Honestly, I don't know if I remember, outside of 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series, I don't know if I remember a more fun baseball time for me than April, May, and June of 2021 when both teams were just sick. And it really kind of all fell apart in the middle of that summer. The White Sox kind of coasted down the stretch, made it to the playoffs, got killed by Houston. The Cubs traded Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez to the New York Yankees, New York Mets, and San Francisco Giants, respectively. The White Sox were expected to carry on, though. They'd continue getting better. The young guys would get better. It hasn't happened. 2022 was a mediocre disaster. Last year was an actual disaster. And here we are coming into 2022 after knowing, or 2024, excuse me, knowing the White Sox traded Dylan Cease to the San Diego Padres, and there's nobody else I'd rather have mourn with me for this overseas sin than my friend Joe Mandel. Joseph, welcome to the show.
What's up, Vin?
How you doing?
What's up? The season is over, and it hasn't even started.
Do you agree with my take, though? How fun was 2021 baseball-wise?
That was great.
From April to...
I mean, the August? Blackout game. The blackout
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I guess through the blackout game.
I mean, that's kind of when it, but that was the pinnacle, you know?
I know you were at the blackout game. Were you at the one they lost?
I was.
Yeah, we were both. I figured we both were.
Yeah. Yep.
Actually, I think for the blackout game, was I sitting in your season ticket holder extra seat in the 500 level?
Yes, I did sell you one of my extra pairs of seats. Yes.
Yeah, because you had a couple for being a season ticket, and you sat in 155, right?
Yes.
Isn't it more fun to talk about that day than today?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, up until yesterday, I was like, oh, today we're just going to talk about this baseball season starting up, and, you know, oh, fantasy baseball drafts are starting to peek around, and who's going to perform, and nope, we're talking about the White Sox trading Dylan Cease and Vin. Let's just dive into it. Why did we not get a bigger haul for him? Why now? Why did they trade him now? Chris Getz, this is malpractice as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying we got bad players. What I'm saying is I feel like he demands at least two top 100 prospects, not one. Am I crazy, Vin? I feel like the Sox got hosed.
So I know a lot of the White Sox community feels like they got hosed. I was talking to an editor at Fansided who is an Atlanta Braves fan, but also just knows baseball in general. And he said, and nobody's opinion is immaculate, in my opinion. I like hearing it from everyone and taking it all and putting it into a pot and mixing it together to form my own opinion. But he said White Sox fans will hate it. White Sox fans should be quite pleased. They won't be, but they should, were his exact words. I don't know if that means that some of these guys are going to turn out to be stars. Obviously, for those who don't know, here, let me pull it up right now. The actual return for Dylan Cease from the San Diego Padres. You have right-handed pitcher Drew Thorpe, who's fourth in San Diego's system, 64th in the top 100. Right-handed pitcher Yairo Iriarte, seventh in their system, and he was 109th overall. I know they have the top 100. I don't know how far it actually goes. I think it's to 150, if I had to guess. Outfielder Samuel Zavala, 12th in San Diego system, not ranked in the national side. And then Steven Wilson, he's 28 years old. He's no longer considered a prospect because of reaching a certain age or number of games.
He's 29, right?
Yeah, but he's not. He's definitely the fourth piece in the trade. His stats weren't terrible in the limited amount of MLB action that he's had. His ERA is like in the early threes, mid threes. But, I mean, it's such a small sample size, and you know how guys really like to turn things around negatively when they come to the White Sox. But I'm excited about Thorpe and Ariarte, but I don't know if that necessarily means they're going to become stars. There are some people that like this. A lot of White Sox fans are underwhelmed because we're hearing things like the New York Yankees possibly giving up, you know, certain prospects that they have. The Texas Rangers jumped in the mix, and we know they like to overspend for just about everything that they do. It led to them winning the World Series last year, but they've been known to overpay. Yeah, exactly. In San Diego.
Because, Vin, I guess the thing I can't get over is why are we pulling the trigger 2 weeks before the start of the season when if you held him to the trade deadline, he could have a mega, mega return. Now, I get it. Maybe they have concerns about his injuries or whatever, and they wanted to deal him while he was healthy. But, like, I don't know. It's driving me up a wall because – and on top of it, to add insult to injury, Vin, I got an email about 20 minutes ago from the White Sox asking me if I want to buy a suite package. Here's the email, tit for tat. Hang on. Sorry, I had to bring this up because it's so out of touch.
It is out of touch.
At 11:50 Eastern, 10:50 Central, looking for a suite deal? Book multiple games and save big with a suite pack.
It probably offers you like playoff incentives too, right? Like, yeah, early access to playoff tickets.
Here you go. Access these benefits. Significant savings. Customizable food and beverage. Complimentary parking. Autographed items from who? Who's left besides Luis Robert and Eloy? And many, many more. You don't even get playoff games with it. That's because they're not going to make the playoffs. That's why they don't say that.
You don't want Feedy's autograph? What's the matter with you?
Do we have the worst rotation in baseball?
Oh, I don't know if it's worse than, you know, there are plenty of teams that annoyed fans around the league that would make that claim, but it's definitely in the team photo.
Bottom 10, it's, probably?
Yeah. 100%. It could be the worst. I would have to look through because, like, you know, it's like when you say, oh, my team this, my team, and there are other fans saying that about their, but, like, it is definitely in the team photo. I actually think there is a world where it is the worst. Yeah.
We'll see. I think 60 games is kind of might be our ceiling, but we'll see.
The thing with Dylan Cease, Joseph, he made his debut halfway through 2019. I was there. You were there. That's right. We have had this conversation. The second I found out that the White Sox were calling up Dylan Cease, it was like, what, 4 or 5 days in advance, I was like, I'm going. I have to be there when Dylan Cease makes his day. And I did the same thing for Kopech, too. But Kopech didn't become what Cease became. I have to be there. They were playing the Detroit Tigers. I believe they win? They might have lost. They might have lost, but it wasn't Cease's fault. He
Cease was like, okay.
Yeah, he was fine. It was like a typical first career start.
Because the reason I remember Vin is I was there and Mike North and Aldo were doing a show and they called me from the stadium to report on Dylan's season.
That's incredible. I want to go back and find that. I want to see that really bad. And yes, my mom is in the chat right now. I believe I went to that game also. You are correct, young lady, because she was pissed that I was going by myself. And how old was I in 2019? I guess it was kind of ridiculous, but she was mad that I was going. I was going by myself. And her and my aunt ended up coming with me. Yes, Dylan Cease. It was his first career game. It was us three, and we went. They were playing the Detroit Tigers. But the thing, Joe, from that point on, that day, that great day, you were spending it with Mike North and Aldo via the camera, and I was spending it with my mom and my aunt watching Dylan Cease make his debut.
Here's his debut, by the way.
Love that. Absolutely love that. We actually had six seats, too. I could probably – like we were first base side, maybe like we're somewhere in that shot right there. For those listening on audio, I apologize. But he made 14 starts from that moment on, which means he finished the season making every start. The BS 60 game 2020 season, he made all 12 of his starts. In 2021, he made 32 starts, which if you divide 162 by 5, the number of pitchers in a starting rotation, that comes out to be 32. Last year, or 2022, his Cy Young runner-up season, 32 starts. Remarkably, in 2023, I don't know how it happened, but he had 33 starts, which is more than, you know, what you're supposed to have as a starter making every start. A starter making every start in MLB is 32, because like I said, 162 divided by 5 is 32. Somehow he made a 32nd start. I don't know if it was just the way the All-Star break shook out or whatever. He could have started the last game before the All-Star break and maybe the second game back. I don't remember exactly what happened, but he's basically made every start he possibly could in his career. I can't remember Dylan Cease missing a start. So, you know, are the White Sox worried that it's impossible for you to go six straight years without missing a single start? That is very possible. But also, you could look at it as the history says he's not going to miss a start. He's very durable. Why wouldn't you trade him later? I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, no, for sure. I see it too. And people also got to remember, Vin, I know the National League doesn't have the pitchers hit anymore, but this guy can rake at the plate too.
Remember was it the Brewers or the Reds? The Reds. It was the Reds.
And here it is. Oh, he's that almost went yard.
Yeah. And then he's on base and he's like, oh, well. The thing that always makes me crazy when we see stuff like this and people act stunned. Joe, did you play baseball when you were a young lad?
Yeah.
I played from 4 years old. Yeah,
John Santucci was your coach.
Yeah, I played exactly. Santucci was my coach. I played from 4 years old to 19. And the best pitcher on every team was the best hitter on every team.
That's how it was me too, man.
They give it up. They give up hitting when they turn like 16. If they're good, if they're real good at pitching, like committed to a D1 school or whatever the case may be, they give up hitting around 14, 15, 16 years old. But in your youth, they're the best athletes on the field. They're the best athletes on the field. So when a guy comes up to the MLB and he cracks a bat for the first time ever, it really doesn't all that surprise me when he gets a couple hits here and there. I know it's not sustainable because they don't practice it quite enough, but like, I don't know. I hope Shohei Ohtani changes the whole wave of things because I think there could be more of that. I really do, because pitchers in high school that can rake, why stop hitting? You have no Ohtani made it where you have no obligation to stop hitting going forward.
Exactly. Oh, you want to see something traumatic, Vin?
What's that?
The pain. I mean, it just looks so strange to me.
It does. It does. And you know what? Cease was drafted by the Cubs. So now he's going to play them somewhat frequently. What a disaster this whole thing turned out to be, though. I honestly, if... if any of my teams go through it worse than the White Sox have in the last 18 months, I would be stunned. I actually don't even think it's possible. Like, the Devils are having a tough season, but, like, you still see, like, it's just a growing season. The Bears are going to take a quarterback with the number one pick, and, you know, I don't think it's peaches and cream, but I don't think it's perfect. Or I don't think it's a disaster either. The White Sox right now are a joke. And yeah, what has happened with this rebuild is just nasty, to the point where people like Travis, people like me, I'm happy for Dylan Cease too.
I mean, I'm happy for him too. Don't get me wrong.
He's going to go to a sick team. They might not make the playoffs. They're in the hardest division in, or top two hardest division in baseball. It's either that or the West, both West divisions. Oh, the American League East is in the team photo too. I mean, there's five potential playoff teams there. The Red Sox could be the worst team in that division with 85 wins. But
I can say one thing though, man, his fantasy stock shot up.
Oh, hell yeah, it did. Hell yeah, it did. Cause he's going to replace Snell in the lineup. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be the ace. Yu Darvish was named to be San Diego's opening day starter.
Yeah.
But I mean, their lineup or their rotation last year was awesome. And you put Cease in there in place of Snell. Maybe Snell will be like, huh, why don't I just go back to San Diego where I won a Cy Young Award? He won one in Tampa, too.
How is he not signed yet?
Well, that's a whole different – that's a baseball problem. They could be really good. And Juan Soto's not there anymore, but you still have Tatis. You still have Xander Bogaerts. Manny Machado's a dog. I mean, there's a lot of good hanging out there in San Diego. And you know what? I just remembered I have a Padres jersey. I'm going to wear that when Cease starts. I have their City Connect.
What player? Just blank?
It's no Machado. Player? It's Machado. And I didn't choose Machado because he almost became a White Sox player. I actually just chose Machado because he's number 13. And 13 and 9 are my – and 11. Those are my three favorite numbers. So anytime someone wears one of those three numbers, I generally like to rock them. So that's the only reason I chose Machado.
Funny side note, we got quite a few people tuned in right now. So thanks, everyone, for watching. And we're talking about Dylan Cease being traded from the White Sox in case you guys are living under a rock. Vinny and I are sad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is no bueno. This is not at all how I thought the I mean, in 2017 or 18, I had this friend that I used to work with. Shout out to EC Sports. EC Sports is still a very much running sports blog or sports programming company online right now. Shout out Dion. They gave me my first ever like opportunity to kind of like come on the airwaves of the internet and speak my opinion on sports. They had a weekly show similar to what we do, very similar setup, except they were together in person. But I would go over there once a month, and the segment was called Inside the Penalty Box with Vinny Parisi, and I would come on and feed them some hot NHL education. They were NBA, NFL guys, but also Inside the Penalty Box with Vinny P also featured some baseball chatter. And they were both Cubs fans, so I brought some White Sox perspective. They asked me, do you think the White Sox are going to win the World Series with everything that they've built? And I, with my chest out, said, if they don't win at least one, it will be the biggest disaster in the history of the franchise. And here they are. They're not winning one with this rebuild. And I stand by what I said. It is a disaster. You had 8 top 100 prospects, and pretty much all of them, besides really Cease and Robert, and even to some degree Cease and Robert, failed to become what we thought they were going to be. Eloy Jimenez showed signs of being a bad defender for a long time. Sure. What did they do? They have him out there playing left field in a spring training game, and it was never the same since. Dylan Cease, he second in Cy Young voting. What do? They surround him with the worst rotation, the worst situation, and he has a down year to follow it. Michael Kopech.
Terrible defense.
Terrible defense. There were and bad offense when he started too. I mean, in 2022, bad. Just bad. What was his record in 2022? Was it barely a winning record? In 2022, Cease went 14-8. Okay, so that's a decent record, but for having a 2.2 ERA to be 14.
227 strikeouts.
Yeah. He should have 20 wins in a season like that. I mean, that is just ridiculous that he's 14-8 in that. And 14-8, I'll sign up for any White Sox pitcher to go 14-8 this season. But, but I mean, in 2022, C should have been 20-1. Honestly, I wholeheartedly, but what was Verlander that year? The guy who beat him in the side, the only guy who had a better year than him in 2021 or 2022, Verlander went 18-4. So, I mean, he had four extra wins and four fewer losses.
He was awesome.
He was incredible. And he deserved the Cy Young. So did Cease. Two guys can deserve the Cy Young from time to time. You know, you give it to the better one. And it was Verlander that year.
And he was on a much better team as well.
Absolutely. A much better team. I mean, they went on to win the World Series. I believe first ever Cy Young winner to win the World Series in the same year. That for some reason that sticks out in my head. I'd have to fact check that. But Moncada, he was the cream of the crop. They thought he'd be better than Robert. He was the guy. And you're thinking to yourself, if you have a guy that good offensively playing second base, you're eating. Mm-hmm. Look at the Astros with Altuve. They don't sacrifice any offense with second base like most teams do. You know, you thought you had a guy like that, and he turned out to be probably the biggest bust of them. Not that he's not an MLB player, because he is an MLB player. He is a replacement level. Even he's slightly above a replacement level MLB player. He plays great defense, especially at third, but he just never reached superstardom. I feel like I'm missing a big one. I know Zach Collins was a top 100 prospect at this time too. He turned out to be a bust. They signed Yasmani Grandal the second they realized that was the case. There's a big one I'm missing though. I feel like I said Luis Robert. Luis Robert is a very, very good player. He's an above average, borderline elite MLB player. He's outstanding at a premier defensive position, center field. And he rakes out there doing it. I mean, really only Mike Trout rivaled him in center field last year. The problem is the White Sox didn't do him any favors because what did he have, like 80 RBIs? He didn't even lead the White Sox in RBIs. And that's disgusting because of all the home runs that he hit and all the offense that he produced. That just means not enough White Sox players. That's kind of why RBI is kind of a dying stat a little bit. I still like it, but it is a dying stat a little bit because of this reason, because it definitely doesn't signify how good Robert was last year because the White Sox didn't have runners on base. How is that his fault? Andrew Vaughn, number 3 overall pick, best power hitter.
He needs to step up this year.
Best power hitter in college baseball in 2019, right? He goes to Cal. He's this big guy. He's coming out. He's the sick hitter, and he shows real good signs. Remember, we had guests on South Burbs Hitman saying, oh, rookie of the year, Andrew Vaughn, he's this good. And through the All-Star break, he was in the great mix. Yeah. I think he had 14 home runs as a
rookie. But he wouldn't get any play time from Tony that year.
Tony didn't – he hardly played. I mean, when he did, it was in left field, which is his unnatural position. And I get Jose Abreu's not moving off first base. Like, I'm well aware of that. I wouldn't move him off first base either. He's one of the greatest players in White Sox history, to be frank. But it's just Nick Madrigal trading him for Kimbrel. And I was down with that when it first happened because – Kimbrel was pitching with the Cubs like he really never pitched before that season in 2020 or 2021, excuse me. And then he comes to the White Sox. He's like, this guy's a double agent. It was just a busted trade. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. There's nothing. Cease having the one marvelous year in 2022 and Robert's one marvelous year was last year. I'm not excited to give my Luis Robert prediction on South Burbs. I know we're going to probably. Yeah. I'm not excited to give my Luis Robert 2024 prediction.
It's going to be interesting. And by the way, Vin, while you bring that up, we might as well do a shameless plug. We're back on Monday. The South Burbs Hitmen return 7:30 p.m. Central here on the Barroom Network. And Vin, heck of a guest for show number one. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I'm very excited that the season's getting going. I know I'm aware that the season's going to suck, right? Like it's not going to be fun. But you know, when you have guests like Ryan Lee and, you know, people that we're going to promote throughout the season, it's going to be a good time. So Monday nights, I think the typical start time is going to be 8:00 though, right? For most shows.
It will be. We're just doing 7:30 because it accommodates Ryan a little bit better. So
100%. I'm excited though. It's going to be a good year. We're going to have fun because you know what? Last year we expected them to bounce back. This year we don't expect crap. So we're just going to watch good baseball. I hope the White Sox release uniforms that look cool, or you know they wear their City Connects on Mondays again, or you know something like that. Like just
they are doing that I think again this year. And for those of you who don't know, on Monday we have Ryan Lee, the White Sox in stadium host. He works alongside Alyssa Bergamini. He will be joining us Monday night. We'll be talking about giveaways, stadium food, theme nights, and like Vinny said, just fun in the ballpark. And Vinny and I briefly chatted about this the other day, but in May, Vin, they have a Harry Potter night with a really – check out these scarves. They're sick.
Yeah, they're so sick. Now, do you get to choose which one?
So yeah, if you get you got to get there early though. It's first come first served. You get to choose. So you it's a special ticket that you have to buy, and then in the outfield you go redeem it. So you have to get there early to pick out the ones. Obviously, Gryffindor will be gone in 5 minutes. So sign up.
Is that what you would pick?
One Gryffindor and then one something else. My wife's a huge Harry Potter fan, so I'll let her choose what other house we choose.
I'm a huge Harry Potter fan as well. Every time I've ever taken one of those online tests to figure out what house you're in, I have never not gotten Gryffindor.
Shocker.
That's what Katie says too. That's funny. Hey, main character energy, VP. Joe, I think you would be Gryffindor too, though.
Yeah, I think I did a couple of those quizzes, and usually I get Gryffindor. Sometimes I get Slytherin.
Slytherin, eh?
Which is like polar opposite. So I'm like, what? I'm not sure there's a rhyme or reason, Vin.
They're opposites in terms of the protagonists in the series are in Slytherin and in Gryffindor, and the antagonists are in Slytherin. But there's a lot of similarities, actually, between, and I could have a deep conversation about why I think Slytherin and Gryffindor actually aren't all that different. What day in May is it?
It is May 10th. It is a Friday evening.
Ooh, I would love to go, actually.
It's a 6:40 start, so it's a slightly early game, which is nice.
Not Slytherin, eh? Are you sure? You could be great, you know. It's all and right here.
If you've seen Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, it's the on Broadway, it's the play. It's official. This is like real, you know, Harry Potter
I've stuff. Read it.
And his son is in Slytherin, so.
Yep. I want to see it when it comes to Chicago. It is coming to Chicago.
It's amazing, Vin. We're probably going to go see it again. We saw it in New York, obviously.
I want to see it so bad. I've read the book. It's not a it, the book is it's the play. Right. The book is the play. Like you read it like a play script. I think reading it's books like good. That is I think reading books like that is delightful because it's so much less stressful. It's easier to read the and listen, I love a good novel too, like the Game of Thrones. Now those are hard to read, but I love it. I like things that are hard to read and I like things that are easy to read. That is easy to read. But the story tell you, is
and
amazing.
It's even better than seeing it on stage because it's like there's effects and everything. It's insane.
I need to see it now. Not Slytherin, eh? Oh, I love that. That is so funny. But yeah, I want one of those scarves really bad. That is something that I think needs to happen. The person that's asking what day in May can really do some damage. I would love to see 6 tickets come through the air. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, this looks good. They did an interesting job casting older Harry.
Yeah. It's legit.
Do you think they'll ever make a movie?
I don't know, man. The story's so good, maybe.
I think it would be sick if they could actually
I'm going to lean no because they're rebooting the Harry Potter series as an HBO Max TV show now, so probably not, but who knows?
I can't wait to watch that, to be honest with you. I'm pumped for it, but it's crazy how I'm talking not. About the you're not? Why, you think it's going to stink?
Like, like, think about it. My wife made this comparison, so I'm going to give her all the credit for this. Fair. All the nerds out there. Can you imagine if Disney all of a sudden was just like, you know what? Forget it. We're going to redo Star Wars. We're going to recast all your favorite characters. Luke Skywalker, he doesn't look like this anymore. He looks like this. Or Han Solo, we're going to change his story a little bit. He's going to look completely different.
Well, are they starting it from scratch?
It is. They are redoing Harry Potter, like the movies, into a TV series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch every second of it, but I'm not in love with that idea.
So, you know.
I thought it was going to be a different twist on certain things.
I'll probably still watch it, but, like, you know, stinks.
According to a report from Vinny Duber, Chris Getz says Michael Kopech will pitch out of the bullpen.
All right, the rotation's even worse then. Great.
100%. 100%. Like, who do they even plan on using?
Maybe they're going to sign Blake Snell, Vin.
That would be a Ferrari in a trailer park.
That's a perfect analogy, Vinny. Nice.
That's not what I wanted to read
right now. You know what they should do? They should hold tryouts just to the city of Chicago.
So who the blank is going to start on opening day?
Steven Zimmerman's going to throw on opening day for the White Sox.
You're not going to tell me that the fans wouldn't like that better. That's just...
I would prefer it. I would love to see Zim get shelled.
He wouldn't even get shelled. He'd throw a...
He'd probably get an out. I'd bet you he'd get an out.
Yeah, he'd get an out. There's really no difference, in my opinion, than, like, Andrew Vaughn pitching in, you know, a blowout. Zim could probably throw harder.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he could throw harder than 65 miles an hour, like some of these. Like, when Anthony Rizzo pitched, I think he got Freddie Freeman out, and he threw, like, 65. You know, Zim could probably actually put some... Because MLB hitters, they're not accustomed to standing in the box and facing, like,
right.
You know... Gas. I'm looking at the rotation right now on their active depth chart according to MLB.com. So I'm getting it literally right from the source. Kopech is still on there listed as part of the rotation, but it's going to come off probably later today now that this report, because Chuck Garfine just confirmed that Chris Getz did say that. Not that I don't trust Vinny Duber. I trust Vinny Duber with my White Sox knowledge very much.
For sure.
Shout out CHGO.
Yes.
Michael Kopech is not listed, but Michael Soroka, Eric Feedy, Chris Flexen, Garrett Crochet, and Jarrett Schuster.
Okay.
Who's going to be the opening day starter?
Put Crochet in there. I don't care. You know, for only one reason, Vin, because it's the only name that White Sox fans know. And there's going to be people at the stadium on opening day. At least give them that.
Yep. Absolutely.
Or they have Michael Kopech throw like two innings to start, and then it's a bullpen game, but that would be horrendous.
Yeah, and they said coming out of the bullpen. So does that mean closer?
Yeah, I mean, Travis says Kopech for closer, so maybe.
That, I don't think...
It didn't work. Didn't work previously.
No, it didn't, but... He kind of
got roasted at two games you and I went to. He got absolutely shellacked.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. That was disgusting.
And Travis took my comments seriously about Snell. He's like, Snell costs over 100 mil. Sox won't do it. I know they're not going to do that. I'm totally kidding.
Who will the White Sox will eventually give out a $100 million contract? Is that player active in MLB right now?
No.
I don't think so either.
I really don't.
It will happen. I mean, the Royals did it. Like, the Pirates did it. The only
maybe teams... they'll give Salvador Perez a $100 million contract.
I think that'd be funny. But, you know, whatever. This is just not what we thought it was going to be.
It's pure comedy at this point.
It honestly is. They have no business sending out emails to you like that. I mean, they're going to have cool promotions all year, but I'm like, those promotions cost money. So, like, why not just invest in the team? You know, the Cubs don't have these great promotions. They don't. And they spend money on their ball club, though, and they put time and effort and money into development and prospects. And, you know, Nico Horner's a stud. There's no reason that Nico Horner should be playing better on the Cubs than Moncada on the White Sox. There's just no reason for that, like 5-6 years ago. But it's the case. Nico Horner's a way better player than Moncada. It's not even close.
Yeah. It makes me wonder when we're – yeah, go ahead.
They bought Dansby. Dansby Swanson is an elite defensive shortstop with high offensive upside. You know, they got Bellinger back after they revived his career. They chose not to trade him. And then they brought him back at their price, but they got him back. You know, Seiya Suzuki, he was going to Boston, and then he was going to the Dodgers, and then he was going to the Giants, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, hey, Suzuki's going to the Cubs. I would have bet my life he was going to the Red Sox. That was my full-blown thought, and he chose the Cubs, and he's a real good player, too. And every guy they traded away started to become irrelevant. They knew something that we didn't, except Rizzo. Rizzo's a good player with the Yankees. I don't think anybody's denying that. But Bryant, he fell off the face of the earth.
Well, partially because of where he signed.
Yeah, he goes to Colorado. Even when he was with San Francisco, he was okay. But, like, yeah, signing with the Rockies was just a curious decision. But then, you know, Baez, he's terrible. He's straight up bad. I think he's got... He struck out in half of his plate appearances in spring training so far.
That contract with the Tigers might be like one of the worst.
Oh, yeah, God. It could keep them from like taking a step as an organization, because I don't think the Tigers are going to be terrible this year. I don't think they're going to be good. But
Baez
like,
is.
Yeah, Baez is. They'll start benching him though, shopping him around, cutting. Like, I honestly, I don't know what's going to happen with him. But, I mean, if they come third in the division, I won't be stunned. If they come in second, like, are the how good are the Guardians going to be?
Not, I mean, we don't know.
They're an unknown. They're not going to be terrible, and they develop pitching like it's their job. Well, it is. The Twins are probably the favorite, but I don't think the Tigers and Royals are going to be as bad as some people think. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm just ready to watch baseball for like 3 weeks and then realize how awful the Sox are and then periodically tune in over the course of the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch the Yankees a lot. I'm excited to watch the Yankees. I know Garrett Cole's probably hurt, but I want to see Juan's. He's like really hurt. I want to see Juan Soto.
Out a while.
Yeah. I want to see Juan Soto and Aaron Judge go back to back, though. I'm excited to watch them flow through the lineup.
You'll probably see that on opening day or opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
is the CO game coming up soon? That opener is like next this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm also excited for the Dodgers. People hate them. I'm tuning in to watch Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani go back to back to back in a lineup every single day. That is going to be theater. It's like an all-star team. It's literally like an all-star team.
It's on Saturday and Sunday, Vin.
Where is it at again?
Seoul, Korea.
And who's participating?
It is the Dodgers and the Padres. So Dylan Cease gets to fly to Korea. Hopefully his visa is in good order.
That's funny. I guarantee it probably is.
South Korea. Sorry.
Do you need your visa in order to be a road player in other countries?
But not visa. I'm sorry. I meant to say passport.
Passport. Oh, because like the Devils just traded for a goalie, Jake Allen. He played for the Habs, and he needed to get his visa in order before he could suit up for the Devils. But I think
that stuff
because
is complicated. Yeah,
it's because his employer was in Canada, and now his employer's in the U.S.
Yeah,
but I think like in order to play games as a road player in the U.S., his visa it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
as a member of a like. The teams in the American League East, they have tons of road games in Canada playing against the Blue Jays.
I'm getting excited to watch some hockey, man. I'm only less than 3 weeks out from seeing Golden Knights Canucks in Vegas.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. The Canucks, so there are like four powerhouses in the West right now, I would say maybe five, but definitely Dallas, Vegas, Colorado, and Vancouver. Oh, and Edmonton. Yeah, there's a couple really, but like Vegas and Vancouver are two of the top five best.
It'll be a great game. I'm excited.
Yeah, and last night the Canucks played the Avalanche, had a 3-0 lead, and blew it. They lost 4-3 in overtime. So, like, all of these powerhouses in the West, they're heavy, they're fast. Oh, you're going to see a sick game. I will be tuning into that one knowing that you're there. Like, I mean, there would have been a good chance I was watching it anyway, but knowing that you're going to be there, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks from Tuesday, so.
That'll be a good distraction for the White Sox, Joe. You got to hop on that wagon when the Stanley Cup playoffs start. That'll be way better than watching the White Sox.
Well, the Golden Knights are my adopted team. The first season I went down there in Vegas and checked out the stadium and caught a game. So, you know, I feel a connection outside of the Blackhawks. Obviously, they stink right now. So,
yeah, they stink, but they're fun. Connor Bedard is.
Well, yeah, obviously.
He's the real deal. 5 points in one game. I can't recall Taves or Kane ever having 5 points in a game. They did once or twice. But I can't recall any of them, especially at 18 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
We said that at the same time.
The same time. Man, you can't make that up.
Joe, a little tidbit on the Cubs before we move on, we head out.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they're going to be pretty good.
I do too.
Like, win the NL Central good?
Yes.
I do, too. I'm almost rooting for it.
That division's kind of a crapshoot for me. And I kind of feel the same way right now. But like, I do think that they're going to be good. They're going to be competitive. It's going to be much better baseball on the north side. And it's not even particularly close.
I'm worried about one thing for them, and people are going to call. I'm not. I'm only a hater when the White Sox are good.
Starting pitching.
Yep.
Me too.
Got a lot of guys listed on their rotation right now on the depth chart. They still got some cuts to make. So, Justin Steele, yes. Kyle Hendricks, yes. A friend of the show, Jordan Wicks, saw him make a couple. Hayden Wisniewski, Drew Smyly, Javier Assad, Jameson Taillon. And Shota Imanaga, probably going to end up shoving a couple of those guys to the pen. Albert Alzolay will be their closer for sure.
For sure.
Keegan Thompson, real good reliever. I think they liked their rotation last year. I remember liking – or their bullpen last year.
Yeah, the pen was pretty good.
Wisniewski will probably go to the pen. Maybe we need a maybe next time we do a show, we'll have a Cubs expert in to kind of set us straight. Because, like, I know about the Cubs, I probably know about them the second most out of any MLB team just of my proximity. Maybe Boston and New York are probably the only ones that rival the Cubs in terms of Vinny Parisi knowledge. But, I don't know. I'm interested to see what they think of like a Wisniewski or a Smyly. I know Justin Steele's a dog.
I'd love to see them sign Snell.
Why wouldn't Snell want to go there? That's the thing.
I think he would.
Like, you could play at Wrigley Field. It's a sick – Chicago's a sick city in the summer, right? You know, there's sick sports teams. There's a beach on a lake. There's, you know, the best food you'll get. It's smaller than New York, bigger than Boston. I'm copying – Ryan Whitney, when he said it, all this stuff is from his mouth. It's his quote, but like, he's so right. It's bigger than Boston, smaller than New York. It's cleaner than both. You know, it's a good city to come play baseball in the summer. And I don't get why anybody wouldn't want to. And that's why it mind boggles me that now the Cubs in the last 10 years have kind of turned the tides a little bit for themselves, but like why they haven't been two powerhouses for the last 100 years is absolutely mind-boggling to me. The Bears, you have to be okay with bear weather, and the Blackhawks, you have to be okay with living in Chicago in the summer, and it's not that well-run of an organization. You know, same thing with the Bears, same thing with the Bulls. They're not that well-run of organ, but like, I just don't understand how the two teams that play in summertime shy haven't been powerhouses for the last how many years. And The Cubs have the Cardinals in their division, who are a real good franchise all time. The Brew Crew have been good lately. The Pirates kind of stink, but they have the might to be a contender in that division every year. You look at the AL Central. How are you not more competitive than Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Minnesota on a daily basis? It is mind-boggling to me that these aren't two marquee franchises in baseball in terms of winning. In terms of recognizability, I mean, young moolah babies on Saturday Night Live back in the day wearing a White Sox hat, you see some of the most prominent pop stars, rap stars, rock stars of all time. The 90s,
White Sox hats were everywhere.
Exactly. Like, it's a and Field of Dreams. Like, it's a Eight Men Out. I mean, some of the best baseball movies of all time are including the White Sox. The
Best Friend's Wedding.
Like, I just, it's, they're both recognizable marquee names in terms of that, but like in terms of winning, they're both jokes all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
And but Vin, in regards to Snell, I'm fairly certain he's going to sign this week, and I think the Yankees with the Gerrit Cole injury will probably sign him. That's just my prediction.
And they didn't get Cease. They wanted Cease.
Right.
I have another dark horse. And when I say them, you're going to be like, a dark horse? A dark horse in terms of things we've heard. Wouldn't shock me if the Texas Rangers swooped in and offered them more money than any team. They do that. They're the defending World Series champions. They came in last second to try and get Dylan Cease, didn't get him. I would say the Padres, too, because they're in on everybody. They're kind of like the Golden Knights of baseball minus playoff appearances. But
yeah, they spend the money.
They spend the money. They make trades.
They put money into the stadium and people come out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Travis says, I watched a badass hockey game last night between Rockford Ice Hogs and Texas Stars. So many fights in a high-intensity game. It was amazing. Rockford Ice Hogs have a lot of talent. This Ethan Del Mastro, he was their all-star. He's going to be a Hawk next year, I think. And
because that's the Blackhawks affiliate, right?
Yeah, the Rockford Ice Hogs, yeah. And then the Texas Stars, obviously, are the affiliate for the Dallas Stars, and they're a loaded franchise, too, these days. So, yeah, I'm happy to hear you had a good time watching some AHL puck. Good stuff. Joe, is there anything else you got to get off your chest in the sports world right now?
The Bears. I don't know what the heck they're doing with this new stadium and now in museum campus now they're talking about instead of Arlington Heights. I have a feeling it's just they're trying to get Arlington Heights to waive whatever tax problem. They want to make them pay taxes on the land, even though they're not using it as, I don't know. It's a lot of backstory there. But I don't know. It just seems so unnatural now that they would just build another spot on museum campus. But I don't know. It drives me up a wall. And at the end of the day, I think we're all just ready to see what the heck the Bears do because it's been an annoying week. But we got one of my favorite tight ends in football signed to the Bears.
Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett. I've been talking about Gerald Everett as a fantasy football goon for like 5 years as he's like a sleeper. So solid backup tight end. So
100%. I think in a two tight end set with
DeAndre Swift too. I forgot.
Of course. Yeah. DeAndre Swift. So I'm interested to see, he's had nothing but brilliant offensive line play in his NFL career. Like, he was on a stacked Detroit Lions offensive line, and then he comes over to Philly, who has, you know, three Hall of Famers on the offensive line. I mean, if there was a team I would try and emulate in terms of offensive line play and the run game, it would be Philly.
Yeah.
Like, do not move Darnell Wright off of right tackle. Under no circumstances. Find another. I do want to upgrade. I like their current left tackle, but like, you can up, there's always better. But if Darnell Wright is as good at right tackle as he is, I don't see, like, the Eagles kept Lane Johnson.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Yeah, they kept him where he was, and instead of moving him to left tackle, it solidified the offensive line, and they were able to figure it out on the left side, and they're all going to go to the Hall of Fame. So, like, I really hope they learn from them on that front. That's just my take on the whole thing. But, yeah, I'm excited to see Swift play. The Bears' offensive line is getting better. I don't know how you feel about what's-his-name coming over from the Bills playing center, or if you feel like drafting Powers Johnson with the 9th overall pick out of Oregon and trying to develop him into a star center.
I was hoping they were going to sign a center, but
like a big dog center. They still could.
I think they will.
So don't use the 9th overall pick on it.
I would not.
Okay.
Personally.
Malik Nabers? He won't be there.
He won't be there.
I wish he was, though. If he's there, you have to take him.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out real soon what they're doing.
Absolutely. Very excited about it. Make sure you tune into the shows here on the Barroom Network. There's a lot of good stuff going around. I had something that I wanted to say in regards to sports, but I can't remember what it was.
That's right. If you think about it, I'll just give a quick little spiel. And if you want to think about it, think about it. But last night, Mike North and I did Somebody Big Just Died. Eric Carmen from the Raspberries and the singer for Lonely or Hungry Eyes and All By Myself passed away. We did a great show last night. You can go check that out on the Barroom Network. Of course, tonight, I believe tonight, you have Dan and Aldo. Or was that on Tuesday? I don't know. I know Draft on Tap was last night. You can go back and check that out. Fantastic stuff. Greg Gabriel this week, they had Peter King. So you can go back. That was a great show. You got weekend betting tips coming up tomorrow. And this weekend, a special edition of the Barfly Tailgate Show, talking about free agency frenzy. And, of course, Draftapalooza, not that far off. So hit that like button and subscribe to the Barroom Network to get notified anytime we go live on the air. Always great content here. Make sure you don't miss a single second of it.
I thought of what I was going to say.
I knew it. I knew you would.
Are you excited to share your Bears fandom with Simone Biles?
Yes, I am. Her husband, of course, a new member of the Bears. And yeah, that's pretty cool.
She's now probably the second most, or would you say she's the second most popular WAG in the NFL? WAG stands for wife and girlfriend.
I wonder who would the first be.
She has her live concert premiering on Disney Plus. Smith? She has her live concert premiering on Disney Plus at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. I don't think Ciara's up there anymore now that Russell Wilson is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, she's still probably up there.
But I'm sure all these guys are dating.
Who's got a more
Haley Steinfeld too has got to be up there with Josh Allen.
Yep, 100%. 100%. I just remember being in complete admiration as a sports guy, just complete admiration of Simone Biles. She's one of the greatest gymnasts in United States history. So shout out her. Happy to have you in Chicago.
Maybe they can build a team now. Who knows?
Yep.
Either way, looking forward to all the great coverage coming up on the Barroom Network. Vin, take us out, man, with whatever you got.
Absolutely. Thank you to everybody who watched in the chat. Thank you to everybody who's listening on audio. Follow Joe Mandel on social media at Joe Mandel. I am at Vinny Parisi. We will be looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Make sure to direct any complaints about the Barroom Network to at Joey Parisi on Twitter.
Sorry, we ran out of time, Joey.
Yeah, this has been fun. Joe, looking forward to the next time we appear on camera together. I'm looking forward to this weekend, though. Sports. Go Devils, go White Sox, go Bears. And we will see you next time. As always, thank you for listening.
And happy St. Patrick's Day. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you.
Another happy landing.